T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a Friday Eve. Happy Thursday to everybody. Oh, getting so close to a nice long Memorial Day weekend. Kind of that unofficial kickoff to summertime. You know, certainly a different feel this year. Unique circumstances in the world, but still nice to have a little bit of time off coming up here this weekend. The radio.com app, we encourage you to download that. Of course, that is the cool new way to listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. We know you're not spending as much time in your car, so download it today. Get that on your device. You got a smartphone or a tablet or smart speakers or a Commodore 64 or a Sega Genesis, or you got a Casio watch or, you know, a Game Boy or something. Just put it on one of your devices. That way you can always catch us on the go. Sports Radio Nights on the Game is also helping you stay connected with past shows, interviews, and all the content you need. If you need more info, as always, go to radio.com/stayconnected. Social media for the station, all of it is at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms there. As always, the best part, the best way, I should say, to be a part of our show would be through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself. It is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show, as always, back in Studio Jarvis in the building at Jarvis D90. Busy show tonight. Lots to get into. Of course, you know, Thomas Dimitroff joined Andy and Randy earlier today, this morning, and, you know, as we always do, we will take that instead of just replaying the interview itself. We will listen to what Thomas Dimitroff had to say, and I will react to everything on that, so we will do that tonight. We'll be joined by a couple of folks. Darren Rovell is going to join us as, boy, there's been this massive uptick, not just in Michael Jordan memorabilia and things like that, but sports cards and memorabilia in general. Of course, sports betting looks like it's going to be one of the industries that is coming back the quickest along with sports. So lots to get into with Darren Rovell tonight, so we will talk to him. Greg Wyshynski is going to join us as well, senior NHL writer for ESPN.com. He's kind of one of their lead NHL guys as the NHL has put their proposal out for what they're looking at, so we'll get his thoughts and break all of that down. So lots of stuff to get into with you this evening as we get ready for a nice long weekend here starting tomorrow night. We'll definitely get the party started tomorrow night with you on a Friday. But want to start first with, You know, the NBA is, if you believe the rumor and innuendo, is like we like to say in the wrestling podcast world, if you believe the rumor and innuendo, that Orlando is one of the cities that is red hot for getting the NBA back, whether that's finishing up some regular season, then getting into playoffs. Las Vegas, as well as the other hot destination spot, which makes sense. I mean, obviously thinking about maybe two locations, East Coast, West Coast, trying to minimize travel and things like that out there. Houston is another destination that is being definitely considered as well for the NBA, where basically what they would do is go to one of these cities. The idea is that you'll have about, say, 3 weeks of training camp that will get guys back, get their sea legs underneath them. That will be done at the home location of that particular team. And then from there, teams will congregate to the particular city and they will, you know, basically be shacked up for a while, and they will play out, if there's any regular season, they'll play that out, or more than anything, they'll play out the playoffs and run through all of that and do that centrally located. Here's the question that I have, though. Why is Atlanta not being considered for all of this? Considering that we're one of the states that has opened things up early, and certainly we know that the, you know, State Farm Arena, Hawks facilities, they've started to slowly open up. Now, the Falcons were part of the NFL, you know, and their allowance of opening up, but they've opened their facilities up. We know that Atlanta United, there were more photos coming out today about Atlanta United, you know, coming out. Add in the fact that you have the number one airport in the country, which you think would be the leaders in trying to stay ahead of and, you know, have the most efficient way to get guys in and out of this part of the world. I mean, why not Atlanta? Why isn't Atlanta on this list, whether it's the NBA or anywhere else? Wouldn't you think that Atlanta, when I hear Orlando, like, what difference does it make for the NBA to go down to Orlando? Because they're going to do it at, like, Walt Disney Resort. Okay, but there's not going to be any fans. It doesn't matter what's it. You know, you can say, well, Vegas is pretty cool. Okay, but there's no fans that are going to be there. The NBA, when they do all of this, is going to be in empty arenas. There's not going to be fans. It's going to be like what you're seeing with NASCAR. You know, isolate things and you'll have no fans and they'll just do their business and it'll be on TV. So it's not like, hey, let's go to a cool destination like Orlando or something like that. Why not Atlanta? Wouldn't Atlanta make a lot of sense that you talk about the big hub that it is, the big city that it is? We're opening back up. Things are opening back up all over Atlanta, restaurants, you know, all the different things that are coming back online. Why not Atlanta? I mean, the arena really doesn't matter, does it? Does it really matter what arena they play in? I mean, literally, would it matter if they played in a high school gym? There's nobody going to be there. You don't need any kind of big facility to train, you know, to play in. But certainly Atlanta has the infrastructure and things like that. As an NBA city, as an NFL city, as an MLS city, we have a heavy sports infrastructure here. We're used to having lots of big events in this town, right? We're used to having Super Bowls and, you know, Final Fours and national championship games. I mean, we have the pedigree for everything. Hell, the Olympics have been here, obviously. We have the pedigree and everything for it. So I just kind of scratched my head like, okay, when I was reading about Orlando, like, what's Orlando got that we don't have? Don't tell me Disney World. It doesn't matter. It's not like they're going to be playing in Disney World and, you know, Mickey Mouse is going to be, you know, rooting for them on the sidelines or something like that. What difference does it make? Because it's not like they're going to let the players just run wild and, in all these cities. There's going to be lots of testing and quarantining and things like that. So by and large, you're going to have, I don't want to say a sheltered lifestyle, but at the same time, it's not going to be, hey, it's free reign to go do whatever you want. Now, I can't speak for what's going on in Orlando as far as what's open and this, that, and the other, but it's not like Orlando. I can't imagine Orlando's any further ahead in reopening and getting things started back up than what Georgia is. I mean, Georgia's been, you know, in the crosshairs of everybody in America. Oh, look what they're doing, this, that, and the other. And there was a very interesting piece probably piece that I don't want to say it backfired on the Washington Post, but I don't think that they were expecting the reaction that they got. A big expose on the Avalon up in Alpharetta in the Washington Post. And I said this the other night, it's worth your time to go to the Washington Post, WashingtonPost.com or whatever their website is, and read the article. Because people are letting you know they're tired of it and things are opening and things are rolling along. So I can't imagine that Orlando's any further ahead or doing anything differently than what Atlanta is doing. And like I said, we have everything in place from the airport to the infrastructure to the hotel industry to facilities. I mean, take your pick. You know, not to mention the fact of not just State Farm, you got Georgia Tech and Georgia State right around the corner that you could have practices at. Because college campuses are going to start back. We're going to talk later tonight about Louisville. They want to start May 28th. Or 25th or 28th, they want to start getting kids back on campus for football and stuff like that. So you certainly have a lot of things going for Atlanta. I would think more than Houston even. I can't speak for Vegas, but like I said, it's not like guys are going to get to run wild in the streets of Vegas. It's not going to be Sodom and Gomorrah out there. And I know Vegas is talking about their reopening plans and things like that. And, you know, actually some of that is kind of funny because, you know, as I'm watching the stock market and going through all these things, you know, MGM and some of these other casino companies and such, hotel companies and all this kind of stuff, you know, their stock prices are going up. I mean, MGM is seeing uptrends and things like that as they're trying to figure out getting open. I think Biloxi's opening up. Is it Biloxi that's opening up this weekend or something like that? There are some casinos that are going to start to open back up, but I guess I just kind of shake my head. Why not Atlanta? Why can't we be the place where you want to congregate to and hold your events at? I mean, we were going to have the Final Four here. We could certainly handle. We have all the facilities, like I said, that you could want out there. Hell, you could open Mercedes-Benz up. You could put multiple basketball courts up there. And, you know, you could. There's so many things that you could do with all the facilities that we have here. So I always get a little bit disappointed when I hear about these things that are going to reopen, or they're going to do this or do that, or what city's being proposed for this or that or what have you. How's come we don't? We're the jewel of the South, right? We're the capital of the South. Weather's nice now, right? Got the good weather. We're in the middle of springtime. You know, I don't know. I always get a little disheartened when Atlanta's just not right at the forefront of being one of these cities that everybody's considering as their destination to get things back going. All right, when we get back, Thomas Dimitroff joined Andy and Randy on the Midday Show. We will play you the answers that he had to the questions that were asked, and we will react to all of that as we do. It is the John Shuckery Show, live with you on a Thursday evening, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Shuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Thursday evening. 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to leave us a comment and be part of the show, do it through that. As always, the radio.com app is how you want to listen to us when you're not in your vehicle. So download that. Head to the Apple Store or iTunes Store or the Google Play Store or whatever it is, the Toys R Us or I don't know, whatever they got out there, Learning Center, whatever stores that sell the apps and stuff, you can download it all there. Social media at 929 The Game for the station. Follow myself. It's at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis D90. We'll talk to Darren Rovell from the Action Network coming up next as the sports craze, sports memorabilia craze is really amping up. Amazing, kind of given the times that we're in. So several things to get into with Darren coming up in the next segment. But as we do, when we get somebody like Thomas Dimitrov on the station, today it was Andy and Randy who had Thomas Dimitrov on, of course, the general manager for the Atlanta Falcons. Seeing as how I don't normally get a chance to listen live and hear what was said on there, we like to take those interviews and chop them up and let me kind of react to what we hear out there. So we're going to play several clips from Thomas today on the program. Let's start with Thomas Dimitrov as he reacts to Dirk Cutter's comments about Todd Gurley and, you know, his health.
Whether I'm talking to his, you know, his agents or I'm talking to our, you know, our athletic performance people, it'll come up and we will discuss it. It's not something that I go to sleep at night restless over at all. Contrary to what Dirk said, I said what I said at the very beginning of this, as well as Dan. We have all the information that we need to date, short of us being able to put our hands on Todd. And when we're able to do that, it will, you know, confirm everything and finalize everything. I am very comfortable with the information that we have at this point. It wasn't like we randomly just approached Todd Gurley for a deal here and didn't know the background. We know where we are with that. It's just a matter of our final stages of the physical, and hopefully that'll come soon.
All right, few things. One is, does it feel like at times Dirk Cutter just kind of puts his foot in his mouth with some of the things that he says? You know, we talked about this the other night, and just like, wow, it really didn't inspire a whole lot of confidence. I mean, talking about Todd Gurley, go back to last year when Calvin Ridley was playing so well, and he's like, yeah, people are like, why don't you get Ridley the ball more? I don't know. We should probably call more plays for him. Well, you are the OC, so maybe that'd be a good place to start. And I know Dirk's been a head coach before, obviously. He's been a long-time coordinator in there, and I like Dirk Cutter, and, you know, he's had, you know, plenty of success and things like that. But it does feel like at times he kind of puts his foot in his mouth. Look, this is where you have to trust Thomas Dimitrov. Do you understand what an epic debacle it would be if Todd Gurley is not healthy? The idea of offering him the contract and a $6 million, and look, it's $6 million, you know, only because the Rams have a bunch of money invested in Todd. He's getting a bunch of money from them. But $6 million is still a good chunk of change for a running back in today's NFL. That's still a pretty good amount of money that you're paying a guy to come in and be your RB1. It would be a real disaster in a season where we believe that if Thomas and Dan don't get it done, then there could be and probably will be changes happening. And I don't know if that includes Thomas, but certainly I wouldn't want to roll the dice on somebody that I don't feel can come in and help. Now, that doesn't change the fact that Todd Gurley, as D-Led said in his podcast, that, you know, he'll be on a pitch count. And I understand that, and I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with saying, okay, this is the kind of role we want him to have. You know, 15 to 17 rushing attempts, 4 to 5 pass attempts, you know, whatever, however they kind of designate it to keep him fresh and keep him through the season and monitor how well he can do. I have that part I don't have a problem with. But you certainly don't roll the dice on an RB1 if you don't think that you have all of your ducks in a row, I's dotted, T's crossed, and you know a lot of information. Now, to be honest, too, let's cut through the fog. There's probably some off-the-record backdoor channel information that Thomas has and has been given by people about Todd and the reality of what he has and doesn't have and things like that. Okay, because they couldn't take physicals and this, that, and the other, so he had to get that information from somewhere. You know, we joked about Deep Throat. Maybe he met somebody in a parking garage late at night when he put his potted plant out on his front porch and let the source know to meet me at the parking garage at 3 in the morning, a la Deep Throat in you know, All the President's Men. So he got the information from somewhere. So you have to trust that, okay, this is reliable, because I don't think Thomas is the kind of guy that would stick his neck out for that kind of money if he doesn't believe that Todd Gurley can't come in here and can't be effective and can't hold up through the season. All right, here's Thomas Dimitroff talking about if the draft picks, free agents that they've brought in, has this turned them into a championship team?
We had a lot of thoughts and fears, maybe the wrong word, concerns that we were not going to have an opportunity to sign Hoover back. So when we were able to solidify that trade, that was important for us. So, again, we have three very important contributing positions that are coming into us, as well as a number of other free agent acquisitions, as well as that draft area that we were very calculated on where we went by picking up, a big corner like that that we think has all the all kinds of ability that we're really excited about. To bring in an interior D lineman that has, the physical side and the attitude side, that as well has, the strength and the athletic ability to play there. To bring in a guy at in the third pick who we think can be, a guy who's going to continue to grow and evolve in this offensive line. We love what he's doing so far. They all play out well with the people that we already have on this team that we think were worthy of signing to big contracts as we had. I think there's an element of continuity on the roster as well as this coaching staff this year that I think is going to benefit this team.
So you can't deny the fact that whether you like some of the selections or not, the Falcons definitely targeted their needs in this offseason. He said about Hooper, okay, if we couldn't sign Hooper, we had to make sure that we had a quality tight end. Boom, trade for a former first-round pick. Hey, we're losing our best sack guy, albeit all the nonsense that surrounds it and what he is and isn't and all this kind of stuff. Hey, let's go out and spend money on a position that we know is of high need. Hey, let's try to upgrade at the running back position. They've done that. Hey, we need a corner because we let our veteran go. Let's address that in the draft. Hey, we need a guy to stand next to Grady Jarrett that can develop and be that complementary defensive tackle with him. Second round, let's go get that guy. So there's no question about the fact that the Falcons have addressed specific needs and filled the holes that they have. I still think there's a hole at linebacker. They did sign a guy today that truthfully is probably not a starter as well. But I am very curious, because we're getting close, when June 2nd hits, how does that money get used? I truthfully, personally, don't think the Falcons are done building this roster. Have they built themselves into a championship team? I hope so. I think they do have a very talented roster, but I think that there are some rolls of the dice. If Todd Gurley does get banged up and go down, you're in trouble there. If Dante Fowler doesn't continue his upward ascent that he's had, you're in trouble there. If Tack McKinley can't bounce back, you're in trouble there. If these two young corners can't get it done because of a lack of pass rush, you're in trouble there. So, yeah, there's definitely risk and reward in what the Falcons have done. But I'll continue to go back to this very premise. You have Matt and Julio and Grady and Debo. You have, and Jake, and Al. You have your core of guys. You have your core. That group is good enough that they're a playoff team and have been a playoff team. Now you have to find the pieces that elevate you to that next level. And that's why I say, I'm not just thinking about, wow, boy, I hope we can go 9-7 and backdoor away into a wild card and get the second wild card and maybe we can go on the road and play somebody. The hell with that. What's the point of paying Matt and Julio and everybody all that money if you don't think that they can't bring you a championship? Then you have to fill in the pieces all around them. But that core group of guys that is going to be that core that is going to win you the most football games, Matt, Julio, Jake, Grady, Debo, that's the group of guys that at the forefront have to help you win football games. All right, Thomas Dimitroff, whether or not they were going to trade into the top 10, early first-round thoughts, talking about the draft.
Though it was reported that we were looking to trade up into the top 5, that was a little more unrealistic. The focus was probably much more in that 9, 10, 11, 12 area. That was something that, from a trade compensation standpoint and from who we thought might be projected to that area, the way that the draft went in the first round, those first 3, 4, and 5 picks, set the tone for the rest of the top 10. That set the tone, quite honestly, for the first round. It is rare. I have, of course, personally, I've always been involved in trades in the draft. It's something I believe in, being aggressive that way. This was truly the first year that everything was falling into place as we wanted, that it didn't precipitate beyond those first few picks at the back end of the, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, that everything was falling into place for us. And we feel very strongly with where we were. I will never just trade for the sake of trading. It will always be what we feel is the best for the football team.
All right, so we'll never know the answer to this question, but it would have been very interesting hearing what he just said if C.J. Henderson hadn't gone 9 to Jacksonville. I still believe, said it then, said it all through the process, I always believed that corner, once they signed Dante Fowler, corner was going to be the first-round pick. And I do think maybe if Henderson gets past 9 and he starts to, then that would the Falcons have made a move? That's my question. We'll never know the answer, but you know, but that's my thought processes. Okay, very quickly, I want to get to how the Falcons might spend. Thomas talking about how they might spend come June 1st.
This is a big time for us, of course, with our situation with Trufant leaving and such. So right. We are waiting for this time. It's important for us, yes. I would say, you know, we're at 90 right now. And so if we're making any moves, we'd have to obviously, you know, hone in and see where we would make the releases if we had to make any. I'm not a big fan of just flippantly making moves just for the sake of making moves. They have right. to be the right situation. Of course, they have to be the right money, of course. We've spent a lot of time in the offseason. The coaches have spent a lot of time with the current roster. And, again, while I understand when opportunities come, you have to look at them closely, I do not, I'm not a big believer in just, you know, lopping off people for the sake of trying someone. Because right now, we don't even have a chance to see them, as you know, right out on the field. We're right. We'd be making decisions off of just talking to someone in a virtual classroom. That's not fair, first of all. I don't think it's good business. We have some other guys we've always, you know, we've been looking at. We'll see how it all plays out in the next few days.
Okay, well, that's no different than any free agency scenario for any team that, again, they didn't work out Dante Fowler, and they paid him a whole ton of money. They didn't get to work out or even get a physical out of Todd Gurley. So that's bupkis, okay? Second of all, the roster. It's 90 guys. If you want to sign Clay Matthews, you get rid of one of your undrafted free agents. That's not a really hard thing to do. And by the way, they're the ones who said, it was Dan who said they kept the roster spot open for a kicker. So that's bupkis too. Not calling BS, I'll call it bupkis instead. All right, when we get back, Darren Rovell will join us from the Action Network. Lots of interesting side stories about what's going on in the world of sports memorabilia, gambling, things like that. We'll talk to him coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show, live with you on a Thursday evening, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Evening, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you would like to leave us a comment about anything we've been covering here tonight. Social media, the station's at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on those platforms. Follow myself. You can reach me at JMCH316 on Twitter. He is producing the show back in Midtown Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. Well, lots of side stories that are coming out of The Last Dance, especially in the memorabilia world, sports betting, lots of interesting side stories that are going on even without games being played. We head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. We are joined by Darren Rovell, course cover sports betting, sports business reporter. A lot of interesting topics for the Action Network. He's a really enjoyable Twitter follow. Follow him at Darren Rovell. Darren, really appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta tonight.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
You know, I'm enjoying a lot of the stuff that you're putting out there with kind of the sports memorabilia world. Let's start with the fallout from The Last Dance. How red hot is Michael Jordan memorabilia right now, and you know, especially some of the prices that this stuff is getting?
Yeah, it's almost like it's to a point where you're thinking, like, what is going on here? Like, we are in the midst of maybe the worst economic crisis in our human history, or U.S. history for sure. And you see, you know, things that, like cards, the Michael Jordan 86-87 Fleer rookie card that, you know, in gem mint you could have gotten for $20,000-$25,000. I don't even know if you, I mean, who can easily do that, right? And now they're selling for $75,000-$80,000. One sold for $97,000 the other night. It's like, I understand that there are people who can pay that, even in these times. But even at the low end, things that really didn't pop before are now popping. And it's really like the entire memorabilia world. So I'm still trying to figure, I'm covering, obviously, the prices and watching this. I have not yet figured out the why of why there is a general bump for all memorabilia. This Mike Trout card sold for $900,000 last night. I think it might have to do with the fact that, one, we're home more, we're going through our stuff, we're feeling nostalgic, we're trying to, you know, since we don't have the sports now, we're trying to jog our memories with when we felt happy about watching sports. Maybe that's it, or maybe we're just home, or maybe there is something to the alternative investment. Hey, I'm down on the stock market. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. You know what? I'm a big sports fan, and I think that there's a future in memorabilia, and I'm going to go invest in that. So that's some of the theories.
Darren, I'm curious because I have been following, you know, you're talking about the Trout and some of the LeBron James cards and a lot of different things. I don't know if you're tracking anything like this or not, but I'm just curious. You know, is eBay or some of the auction houses, I think it's Heritage and some things like that that deal in a lot of sports memorabilia, are they seeing increases in volume of trading, not just like high end dollar cards? I'm talking about like I don't know.
They're all seeing. So like the guy who bought the Trout for $900,000, mm-hmm. I couldn't find out his identity, but the auction house, Golden Auctions, told me it was the first time he ever bid with them. Right. So like those are the types of stories where you're like, someone's actually getting into the hobby. There was a rumor on the memorabilia message boards that, you know, what's really keeping this up and artificially high, per se, is there's a hedge fund that might have quickly raised $100 million to invest in, you know, sports memorabilia, which I could probably buy that right now, just given, you know, the across the board. I mean, I've been collecting forever. You know, I have a check collection, which is like my pride and joy. but you know, I have a crazy Jordan item. You know, and people want to know, like, what do I do? I do want to get in. You know, there's so many ways to get in. I always say, just try not to follow the masses. Like, try to have a strategy and a reasoning. I've had a hard time because I got out of the card business in like 91, 92 as a 12-year-old. I was just like, there's way more cards than they say. You know, I'm upset. And I didn't go back. And then through this false scarcity, these numbered cards and the grading, how good of a card is it in terms of condition? It brought all this scarcity back and revitalized the market and really made it pop.
Darren Rovell joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline from the Action Network. To piggyback off that, how difficult of a time is Beckett, PSA, running into authentications, especially on Jordan autographs and things like that? I mean, you know, that's always the famous thing is the fake autographs, but how difficult of a process has it been for these companies trying to get correct authentications on this stuff?
The problem right now is they can't keep up. You know, like, they've had to hire more and more graders. The guys who are PSA and Beckett, I mean, those guys are the best of the best. They see the nuances that others don't. But listen, at the same time, the guys who forge, just like the, you know, 86-87 Fleer card, when it was first counterfeited in like 1996, and people started noticing, they're like, oh, you know, the Fleer logo looks a little fuzzy. Well, the new counterfeits don't have that. I mean, they have the best of the best now. So it's certainly gotten harder. And Steve Grad, who's the head authenticator for Beckett, told me the other night that he thinks north of 70% of Jordan autographs on eBay are fake. So just beware. I mean, obviously, you're going to have to pay a little bit more for Upper Deck authenticated. You're going to have to pay a lot more. You're probably going to have to pay double, you know, if it's authenticated by Upper Deck. He has his deal through Upper Deck. So, you know, it's very difficult, but Jordan's definitely number one in counterfeited, certainly now.
Darren, I've been fascinated watching, you know, your stories that you've been doing about sports betting opening up across the country after the Supreme Court allowed for, obviously, outside of Las Vegas and in Nevada for sportsbook betting. How much has the pandemic squashed or slowed down some of the progress for some of these states opening up and getting on board to have sportsbook betting?
Well, I think in some areas it has slowed, and some areas it will hasten it. So, for example, I think there are some states that were not going to have this done, and now they're going to. Or certain in New York's an interesting situation because they grandfathered in four upstate sports books. They don't have online betting. New Jersey's been basically taking all their business. And now, you know, you have a situation where they have to generate $13 billion more. And so it's like, well, now they're going to have to call a special session. And Cuomo, the governor, originally said, we're not going to have any new revenue streams. Well, what do you do now? Now you need revenue streams. I don't think it slowed it down. In fact, I think that sports betting is going to be one of those businesses that pops back faster than most. One, we're over-indexing in boredom right now. Two, people won't be going to games, at least for the near future, and maybe they'll spend that ticket money on betting. I mean, people just need some sort of emotional connection, and betting provides that. And so I think it'll be back to, you know, 80-90% of its normal self pretty quickly. And I even think that there's going to be some states that are going to hurry it up and try to call special sessions because they're going to need to make up some of the money that they've lost, from all this coronavirus stuff.
Darren Rovell joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, of course, sports business reporter, sports betting reporter for Action Network. You even reported, too, about how DraftKings exceeded some of their expectations and things like that, to your point about recovering quickly. I mean, it sounds like that those fantasy services and things like that are still going to continue to grow and see plenty of uptick in them as well.
Yeah, I mean, DraftKings went public on April 23rd, and, you know, they've almost doubled their price. They didn't have a good day today, but you know, people really want to try to, you know, they think that they're going to bounce back. And it's interesting, DraftKings said that they're not commenting on their 2020 revenues, but for 2021, they expect to be unchanged. And, you know, so they're telling you that we think that our goals that we set for next year are going to be the same. We will bounce back. Certainly, Belarusian soccer and ping pong are not replacing the volume that would be the NBA and Major League Baseball. But it seems like the market doesn't really care about that. They think that this is a buy, and it's not only DraftKings, it's Penn Gaming, which bought Barstool, and all the casino stocks have had a huge bump, which again speaks for the positivity around the industry.
Darren, I've only got about a minute left, but I'm curious, just action on NASCAR now that it's back. We got the Tiger Phil, Brady Manning, foursome coming up. How's the action going on those events in particular that are obviously quickly coming back?
So I know on our website we saw as much traffic for the first NASCAR race back as we usually see for a Daytona 500.
Wow.
So again, people are itching to get back. I know that the iRacing was generating, from a handle standpoint, about a third of what a regular NASCAR race does, which is incredible. You know, I'm interested to see how NASCAR can take that. I mean, they cannot abandon that just because, you know, we're now moving on to real sports. It looked great. I think people liked it, and they liked it enough maybe to have it. And then Tiger, obviously, I don't think the Rory, I don't think that one did as well, but I think, you know, the Tiger Phil, I think people are going to bet on that big time. We haven't really seen big bets rolling in, but I think by Saturday we should see it.
He covers sports betting, sports business for the Action Network. He's a great Twitter follow, at Darren Rovell. Lots of fun and interesting information. Darren Rovell joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Darren, really appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us, and be safe. Yep.
Okay, take care, guys.
All right, you got to take care. When we get back from the top of the hour, some very interesting numbers helped put together by our buddy Mark Schlabaugh about the impact of losing college football. And college football may have to come back just because. We'll talk about that next. It is the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.